Good morning. Welcome to online worship at Fairview Avenue Church. I hope you're all doing well, and if not, I hope you let us know if you have any special need that we can help provide, or if you'd like us simply to pray for you. We'd be very happy to do that. As you know, we've been asked to not gather together as a church, just as all other churches have been asked. God has called us to submit to the authorities that He has placed over us. And in line with that, in compliance with that, and because of simple common sense, Fairview Avenue Church has suspended its services and all activities, including small groups, for the time being. So over the next few weeks, we are going to provide a short worship time and a short sermon online, and we're also looking for other creative ways that we can stay connected. If you have thoughts and ideas about that, we would love to hear from you. I want to remind you also that if you have a need or if you are anxious and just want to have a friendly voice to talk to, please feel free to call me or one of the deacons, and we would be very happy to chat with you. We want you to be safe, but we don't want you to feel cut off from everyone else or lack fellowship. So we want to stay connected. Well, good morning. This morning I'm happy to be back home from my trip to British Columbia. I attended my mother's memorial service there, and we had a wonderful gathering together and a beautiful sunny day for her interment service. On the side of the mountain, we could look across the sound and see the Olympic Mountains. It was a beautiful day. It was a very precious time with my family, and so I thank you all for praying for us as we were going through that. And thank you for praying for me to get home. One good thing about being on a very large island is, and it has a very small population, is that you don't have a lot of contact with the general population of the country. One of my flights was canceled, and I was able to get back without too much trouble, but almost all of my flights were almost empty. Canada has considerably fewer cases of the virus compared to the United States, so I have not been quarantined or even asked to self-isolate. However, I am limiting myself or my direct contact with other people over the next several days just to be safe, because I want to make sure I don't pass something on. My message today is a little bit more informal and considerably shorter, which might cause some rejoicing. But I feel we could all use a little bit of encouragement from God's Word. I've chosen a verse from Psalm 18 to focus on, and I've called the message God the Rock, because in a time like this, when every day seems to bring bad news, we need to remember that God hasn't gone anywhere. God is still here. He's unchanging, and He's solid, like the rock that David calls Him in the psalm. So we're going to take a look at verse 2 of Psalm 18, and I would encourage you to grab your Bible and follow along. If you're watching on video, you can pause the video right here. We'll wait for you. Welcome back. Glad you got your Bible. Psalm 18 is a long psalm, so we're not going to be reading it all the way through right now, but I really encourage you to take the time to read it. It talks about God as a warrior who defeats his enemies, but also as a deliverer who rescues us from harm. And you might find it to be a real encouragement at this point. Let's read the first six verses of this and see what David writes. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The New Living Translation translates that last part as, my cry to him reached his ears. In other words, he hears what you're saying to him, even in the middle of a crisis, no matter what we're going through. Try to hang on to that as we're going through this today. I want to encourage you to do three things as we go through this short sermon this morning. And the first is trust God, then keep the faith, and the third thing is practice prayer. Again, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." That might sound familiar to you, as a popular chorus that we've sung over the years has those words. "My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So first this morning, I want to encourage you to trust God. In verse 2, David calls God my rock. And because God is the rock, we can trust him. God is trustworthy. He is the rock. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And his character is always the same. You think of God's love and God's mercy and all the other attributes that we've talked about earlier in the year. They're all exactly the same. They never, ever change. And so we can count on God for that. Right now, it probably seems like things are changing by the hour. Over my time I was away, I tuned in to CNN and other news broadcasts frequently, and I found that, you know, it just was almost too much to take in because there were so many changes. But God doesn't change. God remains the same. And this God who created the universe and everything in it, he knows about every single detail of your life, and he cares about you, and he cares about what you're going through. And he doesn't want you to live in fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love casts out fear." God has perfect love, and we tap into that love when we come to saving faith in Jesus. When we trust God, we are a lot more able to love others around us. For example, not buying all the toilet paper in the store and maybe leaving a little bit for somebody else. Or maybe not running out to the gun store to get a gun to guard all the toilet paper you got. You know, we need to be mindful of others. We need to love others in many different ways. And perfect love casts out all fear. When we focus on God's love, that fear can be diminished. There is such a thing as a healthy fear. You know, we all have a healthy fear. Healthy fear keeps us from putting our hand on a lit burner on the stove. An unhealthy fear keeps us from using the stove altogether. And so we need to know the difference. It is good for us to prepare and to have some things on hand, for a couple of weeks at a time, and to make sure that if we're asked to stay home, that we have what we need on hand. But don't freak out if you haven't got a year's supply of toothpaste or something else like that. You're going to have the opportunity to get those things that you need over time. Trust is a very funny thing. You know, when we take our eyes off God, we start putting our eyes on lesser things. David's experience, even in the face of all his enemies, and even when King Saul was trying to hunt him down and kill him, his experience told him that he should trust God, and so he did. He trusted God, and when he trusted God, God came through for him. First and foremost, I recommend trust God. The second thing is keep the faith. David says, "God is my rock, my fortress." He also says, "God is my rock, in whom I take refuge." And then a little later in that same verse, he says, "He is my stronghold." In ancient times, a fortress was a place of protection. And in Israel, they had different places for protection. The high walls of Jerusalem were built for just that reason. And then the high rock and the steep sides of the fortress Masada were built as a perfect place to take a stand against their enemies. They didn't hide behind those walls or retreat to that refuge every day. They went about their lives trusting God. When it was required, then they were able to retreat to those places and do so with safety. They believed in their refuge. They believed in the stronghold, but mostly they believed in God who stood behind it. They trusted that those defenses that God told them to build would keep them safe. And they believed God, and they built them following his direction. Faith and fear can be near opposites. Don't abandon your faith in the face of something fearsome. With the shield of faith, we're told in Ephesians that we can extinguish the flaming darts or the flaming arrows of the enemy. And believe me, the enemy would love it if we abandon our beliefs during a time of crisis. There's a spiritual dimension to this virus, and I'm pretty sure it involves fear and worry, and that the devil is very happy to throw those things at you. But faith itself is a shield if your faith is placed in God. And remember, it doesn't have to be big buckets full of faith. It can be something as tiny as a mustard seed, just the beginning of faith, and God can work with that. Some fear is normal. Too much fear is unhealthy. Here's a good way to work on that fear. Stay rooted in God through reading God's word. Rest in God's promises. Read the promises and rest in those. Read the word and let it just sort of wash over you. Take refuge in it. Meditate on it. Find comfort in it. Now's a really good time to read whole books of the Bible. In fact, we recommend it. You know, when you sit down to read a book of the New Testament, it's a good idea to read it all the way through. Well, we don't often have the time to sit down and do that, but maybe you do now, especially if you're at home from work. Keep the faith. Make God your refuge. Make Him your protection. So, trust God and keep the faith. And the third thing is practice prayer. David said, "The Lord is my deliverer." He was my deliverer. No, he doesn't say that. He was my deliverer. He doesn't say, "Well, I hope that he may be my deliverer in the future if I get into a situation like this with Saul hunting me down again." He doesn't say that either. He says, "The Lord is my present deliverer." He has confidence. He stands in the presence of the delivering God. He is aware of God's presence, and God's presence is very real to him. And I hope his presence is very real to you right now. If there's going to be deliverance from this coronavirus, I think it will need to come from God. Governments and scientists and the medical profession are all having a very hard time keeping up with this. So let's pray for all of them. And let's pray that God specifically will lead them, no matter what their role is in this. I believe that, I really believe in God's timing, and I believe that in His perfect timing, He had us spend a great length of time studying prayer immediately prior to the crisis of this pandemic. I would encourage you to practice the prayer that we spent so much time learning about. And I want to give you a few suggestions about things that you could pray for. Here are some things that are kind of our take-home at home this week. Pray for the safety of your family and your neighbors. This is an obvious one, right? But expand it. Think about concentric circles getting bigger. Pray for the people of your town. Pray for the people of your county. Pray for the state, people all across the state. Pray for the country. But also pray for people around the world. This is not something that's just confined to our country. This is something global. It's a global problem. And so pray for various countries who are experiencing this, and just keep holding them up in prayer. Second thing I would recommend is to pray for those who are sick to fully recover. We think the worst, but God can do the best. Third, pray specifically for the elderly and those who are immune compromised, because they are the most vulnerable. And you know several of them right here in our own congregation or in your community or maybe in your family. So pray specifically for them. So far, none of our global workers have been directly affected. So pray that they will continue to be able to do their role as they experience this in their country, that they'll be able to continue to bring this message of hope and grace that's found in Jesus. Pray for those in leadership, that they will be able to set their differences in politics aside and govern really well during this crisis, because we need good leadership. Pray for doctors, nurses, hospital workers, paramedics, police, so that they don't contract the virus if they're exposed, as many of them are on a day-to-day basis. And the last thing on my list is pray that God will turn the hearts of the people back to him, that this crisis might lead to them crying out to God. This might be, as terrible as what it is, this might turn out to be the beginning of a great spiritual awakening here. So trust God, keep the faith, practice prayer, and try to be a good neighbor as best as you can. Check on them, see that they have what they need. If they have needs, either you can help them yourself or see if we can help through the church. Let me pray for you as we come to an end here. Lord God, these are very scary times, yet we put our trust in you. You are the rock. You are our fortress, our deliverer, and we praise your name. We put our faith in you. We do what we need to do to keep safe, but we recognize that our ultimate safety is in you. Lord, deliver us from this virus pandemic, and we ask that you would lead our leaders, protect frontline workers, shelter our families and neighbors. Lord, may your word start a great spiritual fire in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Once again, if you have needs, please let us know, because we would like to help out. David said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies." May God bless you and keep you safe. In Jesus' name, amen.